السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet again has given us this most beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a day of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He give us the opportunity of seeing many, many, many more days of Jumu'ah and appreciating this Mubarak day. And may Allah Ta'ala make it such that the last day in our earthly life is the day of Jumu'ah. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's system is amazing. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's system is unique. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has created us. And after creating us, Allah Ta'ala has taken care of our needs. Now you look at the needs of insan, it can be broken down into three categories. The first categories are basic necessities that every single human being requires. That is, every single human being requires air. Every single human being requires the sun, requires the light of the sun. Every human being requires rain that comes from the clouds. Every human being requires this atmosphere to live. So Allah Ta'ala in His system, He made this freely available. There is no power on earth that can say we have got dominion over the sun. The sun is ours, we have conquered the sun. We are the world power and the sun belongs to us. The sun, everyone has benefit to it. Nobody can conquer the sun and say they have the right to the light of the sun. Similarly, nobody can say that they have rights to the rain that comes from the clouds. We own those clouds, and whatever rain that is coming from those clouds, those rain belongs to us. Like that, nobody can say the atmosphere belongs to them. Nobody can put a meter for the air that we are consuming from the atmosphere. All this Allah Ta'ala has made it freely available. Every single person is in need of it. Similarly, you find the second category are those things that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala made that are basic necessities. Basic necessities like food and like water. Now we look at these things, there is some dominion that people have, some monopoly that people have over food, there's some monopoly that they have over water. But even after having that monopoly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that in our Shariat, and if you look in Islamic country what the laws are, that the mountain tops, the hilltops, the open uninhabited lands are all public endowment for the use of the public treasury. And if any person wants to make ihya, wants to give life, wants to start cultivating those lands, authority and authorization is needed from the Islamic government. So that Allah Ta'ala has put also that system in place. Now we come to the third category, the category of thaman, the category of gold and silver. This in itself is not a basic necessity, but it's a means, it's a resource to acquire basic necessities. Like our money, in itself a person can't eat the money. A person can't use that money now to sustain his life, but he can use it as a resource to purchase those things that he requires for life. He can use it for buying food, he can use it for purchasing water, he can use it for other basic necessities. So even in this category also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put systems in place that how this greed that man normally has of monopolization, of taking over the economy, of owning, of the rich becoming richer and the poor becoming poorer, Allah Ta'ala has put a system in place. Allah Ta'ala has put the system of zakat in place, the system of ushar in place. Allah Ta'ala has put sadaqatul fitr in place. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has put these different things in place, ghanimat, fay, etc. Put these things in place so that the system of the world is such that even the poor have some share to basic resources. So anyway, this ayat of the Quran which I have read, Allah Ta'ala now is explaining about this fay. What is fay? Fay actually means to return. The literal meaning of fay is to return. That's why in Arabic, that in the afternoon you'll find that the shade or the shadow of things, they now return to the east. In the morning when the sun rises in the east, the shadow goes to the west. And now in the afternoon, the shadow returns to the east. So in other words, the shadow of things are now returning. So therefore, the afternoon sun or the afternoon is referred to as the fay, because the shadow now is returning to the east. Anyway, what is meant by return? Here, the meaning that is related to this ayat of the Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which I've read, which Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that this wealth that Allah Ta'ala has given us, this wealth literally or actually, realistically, it belongs to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala through special laws, divine laws, He's given ownership of the wealth to us. So sometimes we own something, yes, originally it owned to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, but now Allah Ta'ala through specific laws has given ownership to people. But when people disobey Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, when they go into kufr and they go into shirk, and now they disobey Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, a time comes when that land now through being conquered, now it comes back in the hands of the Muslim. It returns to the ownership of Allah Ta'ala, and now it now distributed according to the way Allah Ta'ala wants it to be distributed. So this is the returning that happens, actually returning to the ownership of Allah to be distributed as Allah Ta'ala wants it to be distributed. Anyway, that was not just a prelude to this ayat of this Quran which I wish to mention. Allah Ta'ala is describing the qualities of the Ansar, the brotherhood and the spirit of the Ansar. So when Allah Ta'ala is speaking about this ayat, that this fay also is distributed to these people who وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, the Ansar, that they had actually established their homes before the Muhajirin can come. So when the Muhajirin came, they were actually refugees. In our country, it's a little bit easy for us to understand, when foreigners come to the country, how do the locals look upon them? They always see them as a threat. It's not something that you can easily accept. Even sometimes in our own communities, very easily that word comes out that this person is an India Papa, this person is a Pakistani. It comes, those words come on the tongue. Why? Because it's something in the heart. Naturally, a person sees them as outsiders that are coming. But how did the Ansar see the Muhajirin when they came? Allah Ta'ala is praising them in this ayat, that these are people that came from outside. The people from inside, the Ansar, this is how they receive them. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ, that they love these people that came to them. They love them to such an extent that they took them in their homes. They stayed with them in their homes. They worked with them on their farms. They were their brothers to such an extent that a Sahabi, he tells famous incident, he tells this other Sahabi, the Ansar, tells the Muhajir that I have two wives, whichever one you like, I will give her talaq, you marry her. I have my business, you can take whichever orchard you want, take it, it's yours. Your choice. That type of love, unseen, unheard of. Mullah Ibrahim Sahib was saying something very, very ajeeb in the ulama program just before this. He says that Allah Ta'ala has created something as yaqeen and taqwa. Yaqeen has the force of attracting. Yaqeen has the force of bringing an attraction. A person has yaqeen in akhirat, is very, very easy for him to attract, to be attracted towards good deeds. And taqwa is such, it has the force of repelling anything that is disliked by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. A person doesn't want it close to him. He wants it far away from him. This is taqwa. It has that potential of repelling anything that displeases Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So anyway, these Ansar of Medina, on one occasion, when the Banu Qaynuqa and the Banu Nadir, they were conquered, and now this wealth had coming, we're talking about this fay, this wealth that has come now, this booty, this ghanimat, or this booty that has come now to the Muslims, now this was about to be distributed. So this is that fay we're talking about, this wealth that has come in now to be distributed amongst the Muslims. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he called up a mashura of the Ansar, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam told the Ansar, first he praised them for the way they were looking after the Muhajir brothers, those refugees that had come from Mecca, the way they looked after them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this is a condition of people with great determination, great motivation, that they can do this and look after their brothers. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm putting a proposal to you, that these people are staying with you in your homes, and they are working with you on your farms. I'm putting this proposal to you, that if this wealth that has come in is given to them, then they will no longer have to stay with you in your homes. In other words, they can actually move out of your homes. They can become independent. They've got some money to become independent. So two great leaders from the Ansar stood up. Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, both of them said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the love that they had. And this is what you call brotherhood. They both stood up. They were the two leaders of the Ansar. They said, Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they can have all that wealth. There's no problem. They can have all that wealth. The proposal Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, first was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that I'll give them 50%, I'll give you 50%, but at least then they can move out of your homes. So this was the proposal Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these two leaders of the Ansar stood up and they said, Oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you give them 100% and they're still going to stay with us. Look at that love. Huh? stay with us as usual. You give them 100% and they still stay with us. Now this was the love that they had for their brothers. And then the next part of the ayah, so this is what is meant, وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي سُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا, that they didn't feel any need for that distribution that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving to the muhajir. They didn't feel any need. So ulama explained from this, the ayat of the Quran is saying, وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي سُدُورِهِمْ, they didn't feel any need in the heart for what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given the muhajir brothers. Why, ulama explained, is that it was impossible to even think that on the tongue they would object to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forget coming on the tongue, even that heart didn't have any objection to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing for their brothers. So they said they were happy, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are happy for our brothers, give them everything. And then when Bahrain was conquered, when Bahrain also was conquered, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to repay the Ansar for their kindness. They told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're not going to take one item from there also until you give our muhajir brothers. You give them, then only we will take from there. And this was the beautiful love. Then the next part of the ayat, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً, they preferred others over themselves, even though they were absolutely in need. On one occasion, one person came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sahabi came up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm extremely distressed, extremely hungry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message to one of his wives, that see what you've got so that we can feed this person. The reply comes from the home, that we got absolutely nothing except water. So the message was sent to the next home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, next wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, same reply came, we have absolutely nothing except water. Like that, every home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every wife was approached, every one of our mothers were approached, they had nothing in their homes except water. Can you imagine what a level of sacrifice for this deen to come to us? So eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made an announcement that who is willing to take this person home so that they may feed him. So one Ansari stood up and he said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I will take him to my home. Then when he goes to his house and then he finds out from his wife says, we only got enough to feed the children. That's all we've got. That only enough we got to feed the children. So he said, okay, let us do it this way. Let us not even hurt this man's feeling. We can give him that and tell him that this was for the children, but it will hurt him. Let us do it in such a way that he'll eat also, he'll be satisfied also, and he won't feel any type of apprehension eating in our home. Let us make a plan. What is the plan we'll do? Is that when the food is placed down, just before we can start eating, put the lamp off so now it's absolutely dark. We'll act like we are eating so that he'll think that we're also joining them in the meal. In the meanwhile, there's no food for us. And then put the children off to sleep so that the children also don't feel hungry and they don't ask for any food. And they do this. Next morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the sahabi that Allah ta'ala was very pleased with the action that you did last night. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا, they preferred others over themselves even though they were in need. A last incident I'll mention and we'll terminate. This is something that we have to bring in our lives. The spirit of brotherhood, helping our fellow Muslims, assisting, not a spirit where we want to just keep on growing and growing and growing, forgetting about our employees, forgetting about our staff at home, forgetting about our neighbors. A Muslim is one that takes everyone into consideration. A knock came on the door. This is mentioned in Muwatta. Imam Malik rahmatullahi mentions this incident in his Muwatta, that a person on the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that a person came and knocked on the door and she wanted hungry, no food. So the slave girl, so to speak, the maid that was working in the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, tells her that we've only got one piece of bread which you are going to have for your iftari. We got nothing else. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha tells her, give it to that person. So she's surprised. The only thing we got, insist, give this one piece of bread that we got for iftar. Give it to this poor person that came. So she gives it. Later that afternoon, the same afternoon, one person who doesn't normally give any gifts, he sent a fully roasted goat, battered on the top, that was regarded as the most precious, the most plausible, the best type of meal that the Arab world could see at that time, was a roasted goat that was battered on the top, that was sent as a gift to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha calls a maid and says, eat from this, this is better than your one piece of bread that you gave away. This is Allah ta'ala's system. When a person gives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him much, much more. We don't have to feel shy. We have to cultivate this quality of brotherhood, this quality of loving, this loving quality of sharing, and this quality of giving. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.